The Old Testament reading for this, the 10th Sunday after Pentecost, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes from the book of Job, the 38th chapter. The Lord said to Job, "Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me, if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. Or who stretched the line upon it? On what were its bases sunk? Or who laid its cornerstone when the morning stars sang together and all the sons of God shouted for joy? Or who shut in the sea with doors when it burst out from the womb? When I made clouds its garment and thick darkness its swaddling band, and prescribed limits for it and set bars and doors and said, 'Thus far shall you come and no farther, and here shall your proud waves be stayed.' Have you commanded the morning since your days began, and cause the dawn to know its place, that it might take hold of the skirts of the earth, and the wicked be shaken out of it? It is changed like clay under the seal, and its features stand out like a garment. From the wicked their light is withheld, and their uplifted arm is broken. Have you entered into the springs of the sea, or walked in the recesses of the deep? Have the gates of death been revealed to you, or have you seen the gates of deep darkness? Have you comprehended the expanse of the earth? Declare if you know all this." This is the word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 10th chapter. Moses writes about the righteousness that is based on the law, that the person who does the commandments shall live by them. But the righteousness based on faith says, "Do not say in your heart, 'Who will ascend into heaven?' that is, to bring Christ down, or 'Who will ascend into the abyss?' that is, to bring Christ up from the dead." But what does it say? "The word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart." That is the word of faith that we proclaim. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, "Everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame." For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. But how are they to call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news." But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, "Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us?" So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. This is the word of the Lord. Holy Gospel comes to us according to St. Matthew, the 14th chapter. Immediately Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side, while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost!" And they cried out in fear. But immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I. Do not be afraid." And Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." He said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him, saying to him, "O you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased. And those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly you are the Son of God." This is the gospel of our Lord. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Think back to your childhood dreams and goals. How many of us are doing exactly what we dreamed about when we were young? I, for one, am not. Now, that's not to say that if you aren't living out your childhood dreams, you aren't doing something that isn't worthwhile or fulfilling. Many of us, myself included, wouldn't give up what we're doing because we enjoy it and it gives us a wonderful satisfaction. In fact, where would the world be if we all had become what we dreamed of being when we were little? I mean, there's not nearly enough demand for astronauts, princesses, or wizards. And since no child in their right mind ever fantasizes about it, there would be a dire lack of accountants and subcontractors. The truth of the matter is, no matter how much we may have wanted to be something, no matter how often we told ourselves that we were going to live out our dreams, at some point, reality sets in. And we realize that our childhood dreams, for the most part, are going to be just that, dreams. For some dream jobs like lion tamer or president, there just isn't that much demand, so it isn't all that practical to pursue our dreams. For most, though, the reality is we just don't have the right stuff to do some of the jobs that we dreamt about doing. For a while, I thought I would be a doctor. And then I discovered that I don't like blood, and that's kind of puts the kibosh on that dream. Then, of course, I thought I'd be an astronaut. Have you ever seen an astronaut with a physique like mine? There's a reason for that. In fact, there have been a great number of jobs that I actually did for a while and found out I was no good at them, didn't enjoy them, they weren't going to support my life, or I simply couldn't do them. Roofer, late night DJ, pretzel maker, grocery store clerk, fast food worker. I mean, certainly not dream jobs, but jobs that I discovered at one point or another that I simply didn't have what it took, and I couldn't turn it into a career. Now, oftentimes, we know very quickly when something isn't working out. I was a door-to-door vacuum salesman for nearly 2 days when I realized I was terrible at it, thankfully. But you know, other times, it takes us a long, long time before it dawns on us that try as we might, we simply can't do what we're trying to do. And sometimes it might take a very harsh reminder, a very rude awakening, in order for us to come to this truth. And while it might be painful to finally admit something like that when it comes to our careers or our childhood dreams, it's even more painful, and it takes us even longer to figure it out when it comes to spiritual matters. So often, we fall into the temptation of thinking that we are just as good as God, that we could probably even do the job better because we see all the problems and mistakes that He has clearly made, and if we had that job, we could do it. False religions buy into this premise. They say that if you work hard enough, you could be rewarded with godlike powers. You can be given your own little universe to make as you see fit and play real-life Minecraft in. If you do everything just right, you'll be given extra special holiness and powers in whatever heaven that you wind up in, and you can make your own minions and treat them the way that you wish God had treated you. And our culture reinforces these kind of notions, maybe even if they're not using those exact words. We're told that you are fine on your own. You don't need God. You don't need religion. You don't need anybody telling you what to do or how to do it. That anything you want to do, you can do. If you put your mind to it, you will succeed. Believe in yourself is the motto of our world. And let's face it, that idea is very appealing. We're in the driver's seat. And if we think about it hard enough, if we put our minds to it, we could have unlimited powers and be a god unto ourselves. Anything that we want, we get. Nobody can tell us what to do and what not to do. And so oftentimes, we convince ourselves that we can be God, that we are on the same level that God is, and that if God is going to do things so badly, well, then He better at least explain it to us, and we can give Him some good advice on how He could do better. When we face tragedy and tribulation in our lives, so often we claim that God has made a mistake, and we demand that He tell us why all of this is happening, and that He fix it. When things don't go exactly the way that we think they should, we claim that things could never work out because our way is the only way possible because we are so smart and we know so much. But we don't have all the luxury and opulence that we think we deserve in our lives. We accuse God of doing things all wrong, and we tell him that he owes us an explanation for why things aren't working the way that we know they should. Do you remember Job? Job thought God owed him an explanation. All throughout the book of Job, terrible things happen as the devil wreaks havoc in Job's life. And all throughout the book of Job, Job keeps asking for and even demanding an audience with God. He basically says throughout the entire ordeal, I believe in God, and I know that he's in control throughout all my suffering, but come on, he's got to at least tell me why it's happening. That's the least that God owes me. And so time after time, Job demands to speak directly with God, demands that God come and talk to him, because he's Job. He's a man of faith and character, and he deserves for God to speak with him. And so here, in our Old Testament reading today, God does finally come speak with Job. But unfortunately for Job, it is not quite what he had in mind. God doesn't come groveling and apologizing and wringing his hands and saying, oh, I'm so sorry, Job. I know that I should have done better. I shouldn't have done all this to you. What can I do to make it up to you? Just tell me what it'll take. That's not God. The verses before our Old Testament reading really set the tone as God comes to Job for the first time. Then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this that darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Dress for action like a man. I will question you, and you make it known to me. Dress for action like a man pretty much means put on your big boy pants, Joby, and let's talk for real. And God then asks Job a series of questions, the ones that we hear in our reading, and many, many more. He continues on in this line of questioning for four chapters, asking rhetorical questions that we have in the reading. Where were you when I laid the foundation of the earth? Tell me if you have understanding. Who determined its measurements? Surely you know. He reminds Job that Job is nothing compared to Job, and that compared to God, and that God owes Job nothing at all. I'm a big fan of the Avengers movie, and one of the greatest scenes, the great villain Loki is standing nearly defeated. And yet he rants and he rails and he proclaims to the Avengers that he is immortal, he is unstoppable, he is a god. Only to have the Hulk grab him by the ankles, whip him about his head, smashing him into the floor over and over, leaving him in an aching heap embedded in the floor as he walks away muttering, puny god. When we grow too big for our britches, when we start to claim that we are gods, that we are unstoppable, that we know what to do, God comes along and he reminds us that we would make a puny god, that we can't do it, that we are not worthy. Not to beat us back into proper submission, not out of hatred, but so that we don't wind up condemning ourselves with our delusions of grandeur. Because ask yourself this, would you really want to be your own god? Since we truly struggle to juggle our schedules during a busy week, what makes us think that we could manage the whole universe in such an orderly, beautiful, perfect way like God does? When one phone call from a friend of ours bearing news of tragedy sends our entire world into a tailspin, what makes us think that we could bear to comfort the sorrows of the entire world throughout all history as God does? When we can't even keep a tank of guppies alive for more than a couple of weeks, what makes us think that we could craft and sustain life even close to the glorious way that God has? And then, of course, there's sin. We can't go a day, an hour, a minute without sinning in thought, word, or deed. So what makes us think that we could atone for our sin and make ourselves perfect as God demands? You see, on our own, we are not God material. We don't have what it takes. We're broken, useless, powerless, and worthless. And yet, out of His great grace and love, God does give us godlike gifts. He doesn't make us all powerful because He knows our sinful desires. We would very quickly abuse those powers, and instead of helping one another, we would seek to hurt and belittle others. And so God doesn't give us His almighty powers because He knows us very well. But He does make us like Himself, eternal, holy, and perfect. Not by our trying really, really hard, not by a magical infusion of light if we say just the right incantations or find the magic sorcerer's stone. No, He does it through the simple, very open and accessible way of the cross and empty tomb of Jesus Christ. His death and resurrection cleanse us of our sin. The sin that we have filled our lives with, the sin of arrogantly proclaiming that we are better than God, we are forgiven when we look to Jesus Christ in faith. And forgiven of our sin, we are cleansed of the consequences of that sin, the eternal ones. We are cleansed of our death and our damnation. Not because we deserve it, but simply because He loves us so much. He is steadfast in His promise to us. And because He has made us perfect, because He has washed us clean by the blood of the Lamb, we can actually be like God, our Heavenly Father, even here on earth. Not using His almighty power to do parlor tricks and impress people, but reflecting His mercy, living according to His law, speaking out His gracious word of forgiveness and redemption in everything that we do in our lives, boldly furthering His kingdom as the hands and feet of the Lord. Not just because God says we should, and if we don't, we'll be punished. Not even just because we benefit so much in our lives when we do these things. But we do it so that those around us can know God as well. So that they too can turn to Him in faith. So that they can receive that same blessing and love and forgiveness that we ourselves have been given by the one true and triune God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Have you got what it takes to be God? No. No, you don't. Nor do I. Nor does anyone. We might be pretty good at a lot of stuff. We might be able to do things that most other people simply can't do. We might even live out our childhood dreams and be astronauts, inventors, or kings. But no matter how great we are, we just don't have what it takes to be God. No matter how amazing we might think we are not even close to being on the same level as God, and He does not owe us anything at all. And yet, out of a love that we will never fully understand, God speaks to us clearly. He nurtures us. He cares for us. He lowered Himself to come to our level, took on our human flesh, and took all of our infirmities upon Himself to give us the victory that we could never win for ourselves. He died on the cross beneath the weight of your sin, and He rose again from the tomb for you, to make you like Him. Not able to create with a word, not all-knowing and all-powerful, but through faith in Jesus Christ, He has made you holy and perfect and eternal. He has given you His own perfection so that you can be with Him forever in that sinless paradise of heaven. Not because you tried really hard, not because it's always been your dream, not because you deserve it. It is simply by His grace and mercy and His love for you. By the cross of Jesus Christ alone, by his empty tomb alone, you are forgiven of all of your sin, and eternal life in heaven is yours. Thanks be to God. Amen. And now that peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in true faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.